Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Graven Lonzo, and you. Happy Wednesday?
It is Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Way to go, you.
I had to tell you, the head's swirling this AM. We got a lot going on. And it's one of these shows, especially this hour of the show, because we are going to get into some of the audio from the 57, 54-ish, whatever it was, minutes that Dabo Swinney talked yesterday. This was kind of the primary topic. It's going to be the primary topic the majority of the day today. Because I didn't watch the press conference live. Ordinarily, what I do is when there is a press conference from a head coach that we cover, ordinarily what I will do is I'll just, if it's on when I'm in a spot where I can take a break and watch it, I will. This one wasn't, unfortunately. So I will go back at night and I will watch it, listen to it, and pull bites out of it as they happen, as they jump off the page at me. But last night, wife was getting ready. She's on vacation for like a week and a half. Well, she's on half a vacation and then going out of town for work the back half of next week. Wanted to spend time with her. And as she was packing, and I was just trying to stay out of her way for the part that I couldn't help with, I was checking in on the different, you know, podcasters and radio shows and writers and reporters that I like or that I don't like, just to kind of see what the conversation is. And this Dabo Swinney press conference was it yesterday. I mean, everybody was on this thing yesterday. And as I mentioned back in the first hour, I heard like the same handful of clips that were being played. And I said, you know, it was 54 minutes he was at the podium, over 54 minutes. For a press conference that lasted over 54 minutes, it's kind of odd to me that we're using, like, everybody's using the same 2, 3, 4 clips to take pot shots at Dabo Swinney. And nationally, this dude takes enough criticism. I have never felt the need to pile on. But at the same time, just like with any head coach, including buddy of the show Shane Beamer, when criticism is valid and deserved, it's going to be delivered on this show. We're not going to kiss anybody's butt. At the same time, I'm not going to make it personal when it's just football. Like, I don't want it to be personal. I don't want to be one of these people that feels like the next time Dabo Swinney sits down with us to have a conversation, I better have my head on because I know he's gonna come after me, right? Like, I think criticism about football is fair. It's the exact same thing around here at the office. I want to have a good working relationship with everybody in this building. At the same time, if something happens that is a negative on the show, on the station, yeah, I'm going to go like, hey, man, look, it's nothing personal, but like, here's this thing that happened that I don't think is good, that I think we need to work on or be changed or whatever. And if you take it personally, so be it, but like, it's not. I didn't think I need to pile on, but then last night I actually listened to the press conference and I'm like, you know, there's a lot that Dabo said that isn't getting played that I'm going to play tomorrow, despite the fact that it's going to eat up most of the show. But the one criticism I am going to have and the one take I am going to have, I know there's going to be blowback. I'm going to be on some message boards this weekend. And I'm good with that because I still think it needs to be said. And we're going to get to that coming up in, honestly, probably the back half of this hour. Now, real quick before we get to your water cooler cheat sheet, I said on the way out that I was surprised. I think surprised is the right word. Surprised that after the L to Vanderbilt, it's been remarkably quiet out of South Carolina, out of Columbia. Not really hearing a lot. Haven't really heard much from Shane other than the generic updates and stuff. Haven't really heard much from the players. Haven't really heard about disappointment or hurt. Haven't really heard about we're going to get out there and bring the energy and bounce back and be better and all that. Just even if it's just the cliches and the platitudes, which I speak out about all the time, at least it's something. We haven't really heard anything. Our buddy Jacob is watching on the show. And yes, Jacob, I will be talking about the Spartanburgers coming up here a little bit later on in the show. Jacob jumped on the live stream, which you can too, facebook.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate on YouTube, thefanupstate on Twitter. We stream the show live to all three of those locations. We also stream the show live to the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch if you are using the more modern platform. Jacob jumps in the chat and he says, quote, "Why is going press dark bad? I've always been taught to shut up, work quietly, and then let my performance speak for itself. Talk is cheap, and Dabo is full of it." Okay, nice little shout there at the end. From Jacob. But I will address the first part of that quote, which is, why is going media dark bad? When most of us, I think, are taught, go to work, be quiet, let your work speak for itself. Which, by the way, in some capacities, works. But there are absolutely times that you need to be loud. There are times. It's the old, the squeaky wheel gets the grease philosophy. There are times you need to be loud. If you are at work, I made this point in the last hour. I make it all the time. If you were at work, you had absolutely better speak up about the things you have accomplished. Don't just assume it's going to get noticed, especially by people in authority that are above you in your hierarchy at work, because they got a lot of stuff going on in their life too. Don't just assume that the things that you do and accomplish are noticed, because sometimes they're not. And sometimes they become expected of you when they're not expected of you. But it's different for a Shane Beamer. It's different for a South Carolina, Jacob. And the reason it is different, and I said this going out, but I'll try to be a little bit more clear about it here. The reason is this. South Carolina, between last year and this year, I think has a goal. And it's never going to be expressed, because by expressing it, you're openly saying we're not a top-tier program, and no program is going to say we're not a top-tier program, even not to your top-tier programs. Like, I had a ton of respect for Grambling's coach when they're like, yo, you're going up to Columbus, Ohio, and he's like, yeah, we all know what's going to happen, right? Like, we know we're going to win the halftime show. We're going to go set up a situation where our band can put their band to shame, and they did. But the point here, because, yes, I watched the halftime show. Shut up. Listen, it was awesome.
They combined, and it wasn't really a competition. It was togetherness.
Every game Grambling plays is a band competition. I've been to multiple Grambling games. Their band's electric. That's like losing to Mike Tyson in his prime. Yeah, like, yeah, there's no shame in that. Blah, 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 blah. Point is, South Carolina is not a top-tier program. And that's okay. There's not but a handful of them. But you're not a top-tier program. And I have said for really two, maybe three, but 2 years now, that if you're going to get there, you need to do a couple of things. One of them is you need to be exceptional with your brand awareness. You need to be exceptional with your brand awareness. It is like me. It would be great if I could just come in here, do a great show, and because I do a great show, I work hard, I'm quiet, I do a great show, and the results of that start to show up. But the reality is, I've got to be loud. Not loud like volume loud, but loud, I mean, I am that, but loud in terms of putting content out there, tweeting and TikToking and Instagramming and Facebooking and doing all these things. I don't even want to be on social media, you guys, but I have to. I'm obligated to, because I have to do the hard work to do a great show, but then I do have to go out and go, hey, everybody, this show's good, and you should listen to it.
Because how else am I going to get people's attention from the infinite number of shows and podcasts that are available to people? That's how I feel about South Carolina. How, when you have got Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee and Texas and all these other schools that are your regular opponents, how are you going to get attention from them? The answer is you got to bring it on yourself. And then you got to perform up to that, which you didn't last weekend. Then you got to perform up to that. But to go radio dark instead of saying, hey, look, that's not what we expect. We're a top-tier program, even if we're not. We're a top-tier program, and we expect better than that. By not doing that, you're wasting time to do the thing that you ought to be doing. All right, let's do, because I want to get to the Dabo Swinney audio from his presser yesterday. Let's get to your water cooler cheat sheet. Top three sports stories you need to know before you go kill time talking sports at your office today. It is this. Three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. Let's dive right in very quickly with item number one. Two games last night in the WNBA playoffs. They are officially off and underway. The opening round, a best of three going down with a set of games yesterday. The first one, the Las Vegas Aces took their first loss in their last 18 contests. Their 17-game winning streak has been snapped, one game shy of the all-time WNBA winning streak, set at 18 games back in 2001 by the LA Sparks. The Vegas Aces will have to settle for a tie for second after an 86-83 loss last night to the Seattle Storm. The Storm led by Skylar Diggins, who had 26 points along with 7 assists and a couple of steals. 24 out of Anika Ogwumike. She had 24 points to go with 10 boards in a double-double effort last night for Seattle. Aaliyah Boston had herself, Aja Wilson had herself, we'll come to her in a minute too, had herself another game. 21 points, 13 rebounds in a double-double effort. Jackie Young led the Aces last night, 25 points on 8 of 17 shooting, but was 1 of 6 from behind the arc. The Aces went 7 of 19 behind the arc, shot 20 of 29 for 69, nice percent from the field as well. Not really one number that jumped off the board in this one. You got out-rebounded 32-29. They did shoot the Seattle Storm 83% from the stripe, just 50%, however, from the field last night. They did go 45.8% from the field, 50%, 10 of 20 from behind the arc, and that kind of was the difference. The Indiana Fever have stayed alive and forced both of these series going to Game 3. The Fever lost Game 1. They get Game 2, 77-60 over Atlanta last night. Three starters in double digits for the Fever. Kelsey Mitchell led with 19. Aaliyah Boston did have 15. However, not her traditional stat line, as those 15 points accompanied by just 5 rebounds and 3 assists last night. Overall, the Fever did out-rebound the Atlanta Dream 32-22, which was the difference in this game, the largest playoff victory margin so far in these WNBA playoffs. Let's get to item number two.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Glug, 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 glug. There we go. There we go. Let's go to baseball here for just a minute. A couple of games yesterday as the Braves played a rain makeup doubleheader. Game number one, 6-3 goes the way of Atlanta. Jose Suarez would get the win in this one. 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, both earned. He struck out 9 on 99 pitches and an absolute gem. The offense carried over the momentum from game one, 13 hits in this one. including big dongs from Jurickson Profar, his 14th of the year, and Matty Ice Ice Baby Olsen, his 27th. He had home runs in five consecutive. The Braves would turn around and win game two of the doubleheader as well. Now a two-day win away from a four-game sweep of the Nationals. 5-0. Chris Sale was lights out last night. 8 innings pitched, went 106 pitches in those 8 innings, gave up just 3 hits, obviously no runs, 9 strikeouts. The part that blew me away, 8 innings, 3 hits, no runs allowed, 9 strikeouts, and he did not get credited with the win. Tyler Kinley did. Tyler came in 2 innings, 2 hits, no runs, K just won. Sometimes baseball scoring doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This is one of those times. The Braves win 2. They have won the first 3 of the 4-game set. They go for the sweep at 4:05 this afternoon. And the big dumper back in the news. Cal Raleigh went yard twice last night. In the second inning, he hit number 55. That sent him past Mickey Mantle's mark for single-season home runs by a switch hitter. That record had stood since 1961. Now, in fairness, that record's going to stand for a very long time because you just don't get a lot of switch hitters that are also dudes that can go 55 times yard in a year. In the very next inning, in the third, Cal Raleigh hit home run number 56. Cal Raleigh now tied with the Seattle Mariners single-season home run record that was established by Pop Quiz. Anybody? That is right. The greatest Mariner of all time, Ken Griffey Jr. He did it back in 1997, matched that record in 98. It has stood since then. Cal Raleigh has now tied that record. He needs just one more big dong to set the all-time single-season record for the Mariners. And very rapidly, item number 3. 2 different news stories came out yesterday of the front office sports executives meeting slash seminar slash whatever the hell they called it last night. Commissioners Adam Silver and Rob Manfred were both there. Both of them shared big time stories for fans of their respective leagues. Adam Silver said that the NBA's European League, which is going to be run in tandem with FIBA, is expected to start play either in 2027 or 2028. Silver said he would love for it to start in 27. He said that's ambitious. There has to be some infrastructure that is set up. They've got to get the stadiums right. They've already got buy-in from a number of large European clubs. A lot of these clubs like Barcelona, they're called Barcelona Club because, yes, their soccer team is obviously the crown jewel, but they do have all these other sports that play under the same name with the same logos and the same jerseys and all that. A lot of these teams have already bought in to the NBA FIBA European League, and they, however, do have to build the facilities. He said there are a number of gyms that are ready, but some of the 16 teams expected to start this league will still need to improve the infrastructure. He wants it up by 2027. He said the reality, however, is 2028, but they will not go past 2028 because they want to ride the basketball high, the international basketball high, that will obviously be set by the 2028 Olympics that take place in Los Angeles that year. And Rob Manfred yesterday, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, spoke at the same event. He said that as of right now, there are 3 broadcasting rights contracts that are in the final stages for Major League Baseball. Remember, Manfred said a couple of months ago that his goal was to streamline Major League Baseball broadcasting, not be where you have to go to one of 77 different outlets to watch the baseball games you want to watch. Now, some clubs will still have local distribution deals, meaning if you're a Braves fan, you'll probably still have to have a local contract with a local provider. But he said right now there is the final steps going down on a contract with ESPN to carry regular season games, a contract going down with NBC Universal to carry some postseason games, and to bring back Sunday Night Baseball. Good. That's one of the best parts of the weekend. And there's a contract going down with Netflix right now that will provide Netflix the coverage of the Home Run Derby. Not All-Star Weekend, but the Derby itself. I think that's a toe in the water for a Netflix. I think it will probably serve as an experiment for Amazon Prime as well. The question is, how many exclusive streaming services will Rob Manfred allow to carry baseball events if he wants it to streamline? We'll circle back around to that and talk more about it later on in the show. But when we come back, I'm going to split the Dabo Swinney press conference into two parts. The first part, I'm going to defend him because he took a lot of flack, a lot of heat yesterday about this press conference. And I think there were parts of it that a lot of talking heads are ignoring that I think Dabo Swinney deserves to be defended. Then in the final segment, I'm going to go on the attack because I think Dabo went on the attack yesterday. And while he did it in the traditional Dabo bless your heart kind of way, I do think it needs to be addressed. We will do that next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I'm going to sprint into this segment because Dabo took a lot of heat yesterday, a lot of criticism yesterday, and I think it was fair. I think it was expected. I played you a little while ago the opening response from, or the opening statement, I should say, from Dabo Swinney about this presser, because I think of the 54 minutes, there was probably about 13 minutes that I was like, all right, like some of this is good. Some of this feels like it's a bit of a crash out. Some of it feels like it's he can say he's not taking it personally, but it sounds to some degree like it is. But I also think there was a lot of this press conference where Dabo Swinney just sounded like a guy who was talking football. I'll give you an example of it. After the crash out, if you will, he was asked about Adam Randall as a running back. Fine. Like that's a fine answer. Right? I know there are a lot of people upset about I'm not even upset, to be honest with you. And I was texting with a buddy about this during the game this past Saturday. Because I got Adam Randall's not a real running back text from a friend of mine who was a Clemson fan. And I said, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. You know who I feel like he reminds me of right now? Ashton Jante with the Raiders. Because Ashton Jante's taking a lot of heat. Oh, we overdrafted. We wasted a pick, whatever. And I've said, look, when you run the guy 11 times, like, I know we say this about the pass game, and it's probably more true about the pass game, but a run game takes some time to establish. And I'm not just talking about over the course of the season. I'm talking game by game. Very rare are the guys that are going to come out, and I'm not saying it never happens, but rarely is a guy going to come out and pop one early in the game. And when they do, those are usually the guys we consider to be very special running backs. I think the problem has been the lack of work to establish a run game in these games by Clemson. And a part of that, I think, is a reliance on Cade Klubnik, a belief that at some point Cade Klubnik is going to turn into that Heisman Trophy threat that a lot of us thought he was going to be before the season started. And I think that the belief here is at some point it's going to click for Cade Klubnik and then we're just going to be explosive. But until that happens, yeah, I need you to run the ball more. And in order to get to a point, and it's not just about Adam Randall, but it's about your offensive line. Because when you're throwing the ball 40 times a game, the difference between run blocking and pass blocking, and I know I'm kind of doing football 101 here, but sometimes you got to do football 101. The difference in philosophy and mentality in run blocking and pass blocking is something that you have to switch between, right? Coming off the ball in a run block, Yeah, whether you're pulling guard or tackle, or you're the guy whose assignment is to get to the second level and remove the linebacker from the play, that's got to be a mentality of bloodlust, right? I'm going to go pancake that guy. I'm going to put something on film that he's going to be embarrassed for his mama to see. Versus a pass pro where you will still have some assignment, but ordinarily, your assignment is more going to be along the lines of, okay, I'm the left guard. My job is to get a hand on the nose tackle to help the center establish the block, but then turn to the C gap and pick up anybody coming. It's kick back and cover. Rush blocking, you're attacking. Pass blocking, you're traditionally kicking back and waiting for the attack to come to you. And so to establish a run block scheme, you've got to run the ball and establish the ball. This is why one of the war cries of the Rob Brown Show is run the damn ball. Because if you don't run the ball, you can't run the ball. So I like the answer of defending Adam Randall there and going, he's given us a chance to win. He's been a bright spot. In fact, there was a big run in the late third or early fourth quarter that Randall had, like 30-yard run, that I was like, okay, Clemson's not dead because of that run. And then they turned around and went right back to the same predictable screen dink and dunk offense that they had been running. And it's like, why after he reeled that one off? And when you've got the Tech defense on their heels a little bit, and now their eyes are turned a little bit, why would you immediately go back to the thing that's not working and away from the thing that literally just did? But at the same time, the point here isn't to break down the run game. The point here is to point out that for all of the heat, criticism, flack Dabo took about the press conference yesterday, of that 54 minutes he spoke, I'd say probably 41, 42 of it was that. It was talking football. It was answering questions. But not all of it. And when we come back, I got about three clips for you that I want to play and respond to from Dabo that I think it is fair to say that's a crash out. I think it is fair to say maybe don't attack the fans. They're not the ones that are making the game day decisions, right? Maybe don't attack the media for asking valid questions about defensive rotations and whatnot. And we'll do that when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. So I played you so far in the show a couple of the clips that I do think the folks that have been getting after Dabo Swinney to some degree ignored from this. And I get it. They're not sexy, right? For Dabo to be asked about Adam Randall and give the answer he gave, that's not really a sound clippable answer. And I'll give you one more reality about this industry that I have called a career for 17 years. Some people have this innate ability. I unfortunately don't. I wish that I did. Some people have this innate ability to understand how to speak in sound bites. Because sound bites are just where we are. Everybody wants a bite, right? I told you earlier, I've got some clips of Dabo that are like a minute and a half, 2 minutes long. I'm not supposed to play those.
If you could just make your sentences a little bit shorter, Rob Brown.
For sure. In fact, I had a conversation not terribly long.
It's very difficult to make promos.
100. Like, I am well aware. I used to have to make my own promos. I am aware, very well aware of that. And somebody who has to make social media videos, and they're supposed to be 60 seconds long, but I'm supposed to cut them from the show. I'm like, dude, you understand how much it takes for me to cut one point down to 60 seconds? Like, I'm admitting that I'm bad at this one element that I'm supposed to be very good at. Because to me, like, the details and the left-hand turns, that's what gives the show personality, flavor, character, whatever. Dabo is like me. He does not speak in sound bites. Like, he'll give you a 7-minute answer, and it's a great answer, but if you're a guy trying to put together a social media clip, it can be tough to do. So let me play you the first spot that I got a feeling that the tone of the conversation was shifting. I think this was the third question that Dabo got asked about Tom Allen. I want you to listen to the response about halfway through. All right, so that's a fine answer. Here's the second half. Because in the second half, a reporter, I don't know who it was, I wish I did, said, well, Dabo, one of the things about this team coming in was you were supposed to have a dominant defensive line, dominant front seven, and we haven't really seen that dominance yet. So he goes on to say, hey, look, like you're not gonna see a championship team that doesn't have a rotation and all that. But that sounded like the coach version of don't complain if you don't have a solution. No, I don't. The metaphor I always go to is I don't need to be a Michelin star chef to know that you burnt my steak. I don't need to know how to cook a steak to know that this one's ruined. Like, I don't Why does that have to be controversial? The reality is you haven't seen the dominant front seven that we were sold was going to be the heart and soul of this team. So to ask why not and what's going wrong, I don't think you need to turn around and get snarky about it.
Are you concerned? Have you started to see the trend, the pattern here that coaches are starting to snap back at the media and ask them those questions? It's been happening a lot more.
Oh, Brian Kelly's under a ton of fire for it right now.
A lot more this season than it has in seasons past. And do you think it's going to continue? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get to the point where you, as if you were Rob Brown, the reporter, where you would have to figure out what's the best way to ask a question so you know you're not going to get that kind of slapback from the coach?
Not really, because I don't care if I get the slapback from the coach.
Okay, right? Well, not everyone's like you. There's
some people just disagree.
Like, oh no, if I made him mad, I'm not going to be allowed back in this room.
You know who's like that? Beat reporters are like that.
Yes.
Guys who are, I'm not a beat reporter. Guys who aren't beat reporters are not like that, because I'll tell you straight up, and I've done it before. If I get access cut off from me, that's my story, guys. I come in here the next day and I go, hey guys, I've enjoyed covering XYZ State University, but they told me yesterday I'm not allowed to cover anymore because they didn't like what I had to say, so I'm out. Like, that is my story now. Like, that makes them look bad, not me. So whether or not that continues, that's really up to the fans. If the fans start pushing back and going, hey, we don't want our coach, especially Clemson, right? Like, one of the whole things about Dabo
the
is
fans are going to take the coach's side. I just believe they will.
Most places you're right.
So I think this is going to get worse. I don't know how you fix it, but...
Well, the answer is at some point you end up just with a room full of people who go, oh, Dabo, you're amazing, and then your fans are going to go, wait, where's our coverage?
Which is what he thinks he has.
I think so, too. Yeah. I also think there is just some element...
It's not just him. All coaches want that to be that way.
Sure. Nobody doesn't want that. But at the same time, I think the ones that are the best at it are the ones who are, again, capable of answering those questions. Nick Saban was a butthole to the media all the time. We called him the Nick-tator for a reason. All right, let me get a couple more clips in here. Immediately after that, the next reporter said, whoa. In fact, I actually clipped the question because I did not want to be accused of misrepresenting Dabo's answer based on the context of the question. So he goes on to tell a story about how back in the day, he had coaches coming to him saying, hey, when it's bad, don't read stuff and whatever. And that's all well and good. Now, the clip I didn't play, because we are going to probably circle back around to this later. The long clip. There's about a seven-minute response from Dabo where he basically walks through the history of the... He kind of walks through the history of him at Clemson. He's like, oh, you know, we did this in 2002 and we did this in 2000 and what, not 2002, but you get it. He goes, basically, we did this that year and we did this that year. We did this that year. Why is nobody talking about this, that, and the other? And it was like this long thing of, we've won a whole lot. Why are you on my butt now? And it very much was a defense of his career. And so the guy said, da, da, da. And he goes, yeah, I try not to read all that. But then a minute later, he gets asked another question, and I thought the answer started great, and here's where I think Dabo Swinney lost me. So here's the thing I take away from that.
By the way, I enjoyed that. I loved that.
Sure.
I mean, I thought that was great.
Except for, here's the thing. Literally, no one is calling for Dabo Swinney to be fired. Scratch that. There may be like a very tiny, small, little bit, like the extreme, right? Like the smallest. But
those voices are pretty loud, though, Rob. They always are.
Hey, give me one.
You just said one
fan on Twitter. Just
right,
a fan.
All right.
I've heard nobody.
You're doing that thing again.
No, I know.
And I am saying that normally that little minority are the loudest voices. I'm not giving you an exact example in this case. I'm talking about overall in these situations, the minority is the loudest voice. They're not necessarily the representative of the fan base as a whole.
But what you said is they're loud right now. Are they loud right now? I'm asking you. That's
you
not like an attack.
Off,
I'm asking
you cut
a question.
Me off before I could finish saying it was generally
okay, I apologize.
Overall.
Are they loud right now?
Probably, but okay. I don't like Clemson, and I'm not listening to Clemson, and I'm not like you. I'm not on the Clemson message boards. I can be if you would like me to be, and I'll just laugh the whole time, but it's not necessary because I know overall, generally, the diehard diehards are probably calling for his job, and the same thing is happening in other counties and other states where their teams are struggling.
So Lonzo was correct about one thing. I absolutely thrive in the shadows of the message boards because that's where the conversation takes place that you guys want to have. And I will acknowledge that there are a few, and I'll call one out by name specifically. Shout out TigerNet, where the most extreme Clemson fans reside. You will come across the post every now and then that says, oh, it's time to move on. He's cooked. He's done. Whatever. Now, I'll say this. I don't think he's cooked and is done unless he's unwilling to change. I think at this point we can all say, or at least I can say.
If you're calling for the end of Dabo Swinney right now, you're just not very smart. I mean, he has brought you, took you places you've never been before, and I agree with him. He'll probably go somewhere else and win. Whether you think, well, the reason why he's losing is because of transfer portal and all this stuff, whatever.
He will go somewhere else and win that's not Division I, Power 4, Power 5, top level
football. I don't know that that's the truth.
I do, and here's why. Because the referendum.
If Alabama continues to struggle, suddenly that looks a little more appetizing.
No, because if he got, here's the problem. The problem is not, I mean, I do think there's X's and O's with the play calling and all that. But the problem is, as we have mentioned a number of times, it's Dabo's unwillingness to utilize the portal to the full extent, A, and B, Dabo's unwillingness to, while there is obviously an NIL program at Clemson, not to embrace it, buy in, whatever. That prevents a Power 4 football team from winning.
And despite all that, a bunch of people had them competing for a national championship this year.
Yeah, but they're 1-2, and nobody thinks that now.
I'm just saying.
This is why, coming into the year, the take was, do I think they can be a championship team? They've got the talent to do it. But the question is, will this year be the referendum? Scratch that. This year will be the referendum on if Dabo's philosophy of doing the old school way works or not. And the answer through three games, and he's right. He said at one point, maybe we suck, we lay an egg, we go 6-6, but maybe we don't. Maybe we go 10-2, win the conference, go to the playoff, make some noise. Maybe they do. And if that case, we'll come back to this day, and we'll go, eat your crow, Rob Brown, you big fat dummy. Maybe that's the case. But through three games, I got no reason to believe that's the case. What's changed? Nothing. What's gotten better? Nothing. What's different? Nothing. It's the same thing it was in week one, week two, and week three. We'll see if it changes in week four against Syracuse. That being said, if it is a referendum on whether philosophy works for Dabo, right now the answer is no. And so that's not going to win at Alabama. It's just not. It's not going to win at Florida State. It's not going to win at Florida. It's not going to win anywhere else. So I'm not worried about that. The thing is, there is only a very small minority of extreme. But what he does here to me is he knocks everybody that says, my expectations were higher than this. And my disappointment level is higher than I thought it was going to be. We are not meeting expectations, and I am disappointed with where we are. And it makes it sound like Dabo's like, hey, if you're disappointed, you're a bad fan. If you're disappointed, you're not all in. You're not a true fan. You're not this, you're not that. And that kind of ticks me off a little bit because I know a lot of IPTE members who are also really upset about the state of the program right now. Are you telling me guys that are throwing $10,000 a year at your program aren't all in, aren't balled all in? That's a bad take. And that, to me, is where the wheels came off the wagon of this press conference yesterday. We got to get a sports flash when we come back. We'll do some audio blitz. I got one more long clip from that we'll get to that I really think was the meat and potatoes. All that coming up in the next hour of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
And now, sports flash.
I said that. We got to do a sports flash.
I expect a better intro from you.
That's fair.
It hurt. The Braves, speaking of not hurting, played a doubleheader against the Nationals yesterday, making up a rain game from back in May in Game 1. Jose Suarez went 7 innings with 5 hits and 2 runs allowed while striking out 9 for a 6-3 win. In Game 2, Atlanta shut out Washington for a 5-0 extra inning win. Chris Sale threw 8 with 3 hits, striking out 9. Seattle Mariners won their 10th straight, and catcher Kyle Raleigh set more records in a 12-5 win over Kansas City. Raleigh hit his 55th homer of the season in the second inning, passing Mickey Mantle's single-season homer record for switch hitters. The Las Vegas Aces' 17-game win streak ended one shy of the all-time mark set by 2001 LA Sparks with an 86-83 loss in Game 2 of their series against the Seattle Storm.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.